For the purposes of the recording, this is Rosemary Bullen. Rosemary, would you like to tell us your full name, your age, and where you live?
My name is Rosemary Thelma Bullen. I am 72 years old, and I live in Sudbury.
Did any of your family work in the RAF?
Yes, my dad did. He was called up just after the start of the war. He had to go on various training to various training camps. He was deployed to France.
Where did your dad go?
Right. Well, he had to go up to Scotland to do some training in the very, very cold, in tents. He went to France, and he was fortunate to be one of the ones that was successfully evacuated from Dunkirk. He spent time at airfields in Kent, and he also went on a ship. Actually, they did a full circuit of the world through the Panama Canal to Okinawa and Hong Kong.
What was your dad's job?
He did mostly sort of clerical stuff because he'd been trained as a typist, so he was useful for keeping records. And one of the things that he had to do, one of the main things, was when one of his comrades had been killed, he was the one who had to sort out their belongings, make a note of them all, and arrange for them to be returned to their families.
How did your father feel when he was the only one in the family in France?
Well, I think he must have felt quite sad to be leaving his mother, who'd only been widowed the previous year. He left her to leave her on her own. But once she'd joined up and you were with other comrades, it was, you were all fighting and working with each other, and everything was done to keep morale up, to keep people in good spirits. But of course they missed being at home, and they couldn't send letters or anything like that because they weren't allowed to let anyone know where they were. No telephones, of course. So it was quite difficult, but they were all in the same position. They all had to go through the same experience.
How did your parents meet?
Well, my dad, as you already know, was in the RAF, and he was at one of the RAF stations in Kent, and my mother lived at Maidstone, which is in Kent, and her friend's father used to arrange socials for the airmen and the soldiers, and they'd arranged a particular one. And the men who'd been invited got called away abroad at very short notice. So they'd got all this food and music and everything arranged, nobody to come. So my mum and her friend were sent out into the town to find any airmen or soldiers that they could and ask them to come that evening. And that's how my parents met, because my mum and her friend approached my dad and his mate.
Can I ask one additional question to that, Rosemary? What was it attracted that your mum to your dad?
Well, she looked across the road and she said, "Oh, I like the one with the ginger moustache." And he had that moustache all his life.
Did your family talk much about the war, or did they try to forget it?
Well, most people, particularly The servicemen were not encouraged to talk about their experiences. They were supposed to just try and forget it all. But in later life, my mum did talk about various things that had happened, yes. Does that answer?
Yeah.
just incidents she told us about.
Before you ask your question, maybe you could expand on one of the incidents that's suitable for everybody to hear that your mum talked about in later life, Rosemary.
Right, well, as I've said, she lived in Maidstone, near all the Air Force bases, and they were where the planes used to go out, the Spitfires and the Hurricanes and what have you. They used to go out and across the Channel to France on their bombing missions. So they would see them coming back, they would see them going out, they would see them coming back. And they would also see German planes, and they would come over to bomb. And my mum was taking her nephew for a walk in the pram one day, and a German plane was overhead and started to release bombs, and she threw herself over the pram to protect the baby.
Wow. Amazing story.
Did you know anybody that died in World War II?
Well, I wasn't born until after the war ended, so I didn't personally know anybody who died, no. But almost every family in the country lost somebody.
Okay, to finish off Rosemary's interview, Rosemary's father was sent a letter by the vicar of Little Cornard on May the 19th, 1940, and I've asked Rosemary to give us a little bit of background and also read a little bit of that letter for us.
Okay. Well, the letter was written on May the 19th, 1940, and at that time my dad was in France, but only a week later the Dunkirk evacuations began, and as I've already said, he was one of the fortunate ones that did make it back to England. So the letter didn't actually reach him, although it was sent to him in France. It didn't reach him until he was back in England. And this is just part of what the letter said, because it was from, as Nia's said, it was from the rector of Little Cornard. "Dear Fred, somebody told me you were thinking of writing to me. That is remarkably good of you. It must be difficult to write letters out there, and time must be scarce. So I am beginning a letter to you. I hope you are keeping well. How different it must be from life here and at Melford," which was where he worked at the time. "Things have not altered much here yet, but we know there may be great happenings at any time. The greatest good that has been done here so far is the calling of a day of national prayer. The RAF fill us with admiration. They are splendid. In time they will make the German pilots nervous, and then their power will give way. How small our little matters here seem in comparison with the great and terrible things out there. But you like to picture the old scenes, I expect. The rectory is empty. We live in the Deeks house near Newton Green. It is very much better. I expect the rectory will soon be taken for some national purpose. The green is rather altered by the presence of the searchlight, but Little Cornard itself does not seem much engaged in war affairs. Now, goodbye. We are all in good heart here, and we believe you are too. May God defend us all and give us courage for whatever may come. His cause will certainly prevail. Believe me, yours sincerely, C.C. Pratt." And that's the original letter, which my dad kept until the end of his life, and which we found after he'd died. Handwritten by the rector.
Okay.